Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
I actually found this most recent poll a little bit shocking. I got to be honest, a little shocked by the numbers that came out of the people who trust Donald Trump or the CDC. The most recent Axios Ipsos poll comes out and says 51% of Republicans prefer Trump over the CDC, 36% prefer the CDC, which I got to tell you, I thought would be higher, considering that 97% of Democrats say they choose the CDC over Trump. 1% of Democrats choose Trump. And I got to think that 1%, I got to think they're trolling. Overall, 70% of the country. And this gives me hope. I got to tell you, this gives me hope. 70% of the likely voters responded to the poll saying they trust the CDC scientists over Donald Trump, while 21%, and I would think those are the crazy 21%, choose Trump. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on the top stories of the day and all of the insanity going on, our good friend Bob Ney, former congressman and political analyst. Bob, thanks for taking time for us.
In an insane world, it's good to be talking to you. You're sane.
I appreciate it. Before we get into all the other stuff, how you feeling? I know you had a little medical thing today. Feeling well?
Yes, thanks for asking. I put out a message on Facebook, in which I would, to your listeners also, I had, we didn't have the elective procedures because of the coronavirus. So once that ended, I went to a dermatologist. Anyway, bottom line, 3 biopsies, 2 okay, 1 not with basal cell carcinoma cancer. And it was the one, of course, in the middle of my forehead. It couldn't have been in the one on my leg, you know. So anyway, went in today and had it removed. And just my message here is, look, sunscreen, sunscreen, sunscreen. You know, I was a kid. We ran around and burnt all day long. And so get regular checkups if you can. And that's why we need preventative medicine, and we need medical care for everybody.
Yeah, you tell my kids that. They got to wear their sunscreen. Their mother's on them all the time.
Oh, yes.
Wear the sunscreen.
Absolutely.
And also, you know, I don't mean to bring up bad news or bad memories, but there is that one picture of you in Scotland really red-faced.
That might have been the one, but I think actually when I was a kid, I got more burnt.
Is that possible?
That picture led to a disaster. I think so.
Yeah, that picture. I didn't want to bring up bad memories, but to me, I'm going, that's probably where it came from.
Yes, it might have.
All right.
Yes, sir.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear things are well. I wanted to make sure that I got that in. Let's talk about the CDC. Are you surprised by those numbers that, you know, so many people? Because I got to tell you, I was a little surprised. Only 21% of Republicans sided with Trump over the CDC.
Well, I was a little bit surprised on the Republican side. Now, the Democratic side went pretty well down the line,
right,
you know, obviously with the CDC versus Trump, which I think by this point they would go with anybody that, you know, has a medical degree versus, you know, Trump, because a lot of people do pay attention to Dr. Fauci on the Democratic side to what he says, you know. But, yes, on the Republican side, I thought it would be a little bit more. It's 51%, as you said, of the Republicans, while 36% chose the CDC scientists. So I thought it'd be a little bit heavier. Did.
I did too. But then again, you go, that's the heavy 36. Those are the unmovables. Those are the people, no matter what, that he could shoot someone on Fifth Avenue and he could botch a response to the virus and they'd still be on his side.
Right. And they're with him. And then the amount that listens to the CDC, it'll depend as time goes, maybe not before the election, but if the CDC comes out and makes a few changes, that always makes people skeptical. But again, in this whole business of the coronavirus, you hear one thing, then you hear another from the scientists. Now, when the president speaks, it's a whole different world of what you hear.
No, I mean, and I got to tell you, I think this kind of disinformation that we're getting out of this administration and the kind of all over the place, the CDC comes out and says, yes, it's airborne, and yes, it'll last for longer than a little bit, and then they take it down, and there's all this back and forth. I got to tell you, not good.
Well, it's disturbing. I mean, we've had it happen here in Ohio. Governor DeWine, I think, tries his best to, you know, come out and give facts, but every once in a while, something changes with the health department, something changes how they look at a stat, and people say, oh, there you go, you see? So, I mean, there's going to be all of this debate on it. I think when it started with Trump and the people he had there on the press conferences, to be frank with you, I think it started out okay. I really do. But then it turned into a war of words of Trump against his own people, as usual.
Yeah.
And then that caused a lot of problems. And then if you throw in the CDC and anything changes from what they said, because this is not an exact science, then people say, oh, you see, that's skeptical too. So,
yeah, I mean, for me, there's a bit of common sense. And you go, and I know common sense isn't common anymore, but you know, like any virus, like anything, it is airborne for a bit of time. You do walk into it, you get it on you. Maybe social distancing is the way to go. Wear the damn mask. Seems like common sense to me. I don't know why, as a society, we're still fighting this. It just seems so simple.
Well, you know, in our families, my father's 97, could not get him out of the house or near anyone for a month. I mean, no one. And now he'll go over to my sister's. We'll be on a patio. There's social distancing from, you know, any of the kids to come, so it's okay. At first, though, you know, it was a whole different world. It was as if the virus traveled, you know, a mile and a half in the air. And I think things changed, you know, for people then. But again, it's common sense with the mask and some distancing. I also throw in the Walmart factor there. I hear this all the time. Oh, it was okay to run through Walmart when this started, yeah, which kind of has a little bit of a ring, so, you know, Walmart was kind of exempt, you know, and well, then how come we can't be somewhere else? How come we can't have more people in a church or something? I call it the Walmart example.
No, you're absolutely right. I hear it 1,000 times a day as I'm talking to people about, you know, do you, because here in Pennsylvania, they've ruled that, you know, we can do the mail-in ballot. So I've been, you know, talking to, you know, voters about, do you want the mail-in ballot? And Trump supporters to a T, it's like they got the memo on the exactly what you said. If I can go to Walmart, I can go to the polls.
Right.
And it's like it's their only talking point.
Right. It's the Walmart factor.
And I'm like, you can't come up with something else? You can't come up with, you know, if I can go for ice cream or something, you can't come up with something different?
Right, exactly.
Now, we're also finding out now that Dr. Birx is a little distressed by the direction of the task force that she's no longer being the center of. And there's some talk that she may be leaving.
You know, that's possible. I mean, I think she's been, I think she's been very credible. And I know that she has argued different times within the White House. We've had reports, you know, on that. But you know, it's she's a scientist by nature, and I guess that, you know, hey, if it doesn't go amongst the way it should with science, maybe she will just leave.
Yeah, it's crazy. Now let's get into your world of expertise. The battle over who's going to replace Ruth Bader Ginsburg is heating up. I don't know if you saw it today, but House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy evidently threatened that he's going to introduce a motion to kick Nancy Pelosi out of the speakership. How would that work?
Well, it doesn't. The speakership is voted upon, and unless something happens of a major criminal indictment, et cetera, which would force anybody to step aside, but not even step out, by the way, but he can't do it. I mean, you don't impeach a speaker, and you don't remove them because you don't like what they do.
Yeah,
this is just chest thumping.
Yeah, I read this and I saw the story and I'm going, explain to me how it, because I want to now figure this out. Because if he, as the minority leader, can throw her out, how can Schumer then do the same thing in the Senate?
Right. I mean, and he can't. You know, they can't. They can't throw it out. Chuck Schumer doesn't say that he's going to, you know, throw out Mitch McConnell. He might say he's going to defeat him at the polls.
Yeah, I mean, he might knock him out, but he can't throw him out of the
you
seat.
Can't.
And this is one of those things that just made me kind of chuckle, because, you know, I know there are people out there going, see, he's going to stand up to Nancy. You know, if she gets too out of hand, he's going to throw her out of there.
Can't. It can't be done. Now, and I don't even know that it's worth what he did, number one, because there are people, Republicans, that would say, well, you know, okay, you didn't do it. Why did you tell me you were going to do it? First of all, I mean, the diehards would say, you know, you didn't do it. shame on you. We're not going to help you now. And then some of the Republicans say, you know, you can't do it, so what are you telling me? I just think it was a waste of effort. And also the media giving attention to something that they know can't happen, I think it's a little ridiculous.
See, I brought it up because I think it's hysterical. These are the people who are running our government, Bob.
No, I mean the mainstream media in the first place.
Right.
You know. Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good thing to bring up because it is hysterical. It can't be done. Anybody knows that. And to even go, I mean, to say, hey, we're going to after her. We're going to make sure we turn the House over and then she's not Speaker anymore and you get rid of her, America. You know, take that tone if he wants. But to do something that they absolutely is physically impossible to do, legally impossible to do, why even say it?
Yeah, why even say it? No,
that makes sense.
Obviously it was a threat because in his mind he may think that the arrows in the quiver that Nancy talked about was possibly impeaching Trump a second time. I don't see that happening.
No, curious.
Your thoughts.
Yes, I mean, that's the other thing. The House right now with 40-some days left, on the Democratic side, don't use the word impeachment. Don't, you know, just let it go. Let the process go. Worry about keeping the House from their point of view on the Democratic side. I would not bring up the I word at all because that's not going to happen either.
So do
not
you think
the amount of time left?
Do you think this is, you know, this is him throwing it out there to put it in the minds of his minions, of his supporters, that she's considering impeachment so that pops up there where she never would?
Well, yes, if she says the word impeachment at any point in time, you know, if I were he, I would grasp on it and say, you see, there they go again.
Yeah.
They just don't want me in. They're going to try to cheat at the ballot box. They're going to try to cheat at the mailbox. And now they can't get their way, so they're going to try to impeach me again before the election. And then you say, but, you know, all of you yelling about this stopped her. That's the second. In a fundraising letter.
Yeah, no. You know. Look, I'm getting fundraising letters like crazy.
Oh, sure. Right.
They're nonstop. Hey, you send me money, we're going to get, you know, the most conservative justice ever. You're going to get it anyway. There's no stopping it.
Correct. That's right.
Unless you can think of something, because if they did impeach him again, would that slow it down?
No.
No, of course not.
He would love Donald Trump and the Trump campaign, and if I was running the Trump campaign, I would beg that they start an impeachment process. I would beg them to do it, because that will then contain all the air in the system, all the headlines, all the political vacuum will be contained in one thing, and that will be the issue about Donald Trump. I mean, Joe Biden won't even exist for the next 40 days if they do that.
Yeah, no, because
sure,
he doesn't exist much anyway.
Well, yeah, he's getting out a little bit more, but you're right. He is having trouble because of so many things going on. The Supreme Court, decision. Now that we know Romney's not going to, follow with consistency, then this is going to dominate the airwaves, which Trump won't mind because that is less time for Biden.
Yeah.
I mean, as I look at some of the news, and I really try to be fair about this to the stations I do. And you know, I put Biden stuff in, I put Trump stuff in, but as I look at the news, it's tough. You got to really start to search of what the news is putting out about Biden. I mean, they throw a few bones here and there, but they're mainly just completely obsessed, of course, with the Supreme Court.
No, I mean, this is and Trump. I mean, because it's easy; it's right there in front of you. It's the train wreck. It's, you know, it's the accident on the highway that you can't take your eyes off of.
Well, and also, as the press reports on things or contradictions, it's even on CNN, it's not making necessarily the top headline anymore. I mean, CNN will talk today, for example, about Trump refusing to commit to a peaceful transition, but all of the fact-checking, there's not even room for that anymore. You don't even hardly see it.
Yeah, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. I wanted to get your thoughts on this piece of legislation that Democrats are pushing in the House. It's called Protecting Our Democracy Act. It would criminalize corrupt pardons, outlaw presidential pardons, and prevent the president or vice president from using public office to run out the clock on the statute of limitations. is obviously not going to become the law, obviously not going to make it through the Senate. It's not even going to sit on Mitch McConnell's desk. I'm sure he'll circular file it immediately. Is this worth going after, or is this something you see worthy of some time?
No, I mean, look, you know, the speaker put it out there because of the president's, you know, pardoning people before they even get into the system, you know, which usually you do a little jail time before that happens. And she's put all these reforms in the bill to get, you know, it'll be introduced with the Chairman Adam Schiff and Jerry Nadler, the two chairs of the committee, et cetera. And they'll have some Trump headlines on this about what Trump has done. And then it'll do some guidelines about preventing the abuse of the pardon power, and then it would have the Department of Justice to intervene and provide materials to Congress about any pardon, et cetera. And then to ensure no presence above the law, and it goes on and on. Now, I mean, it's okay to put this out and say, look, we want to reform. It's going nowhere. It won't go anywhere. I'm frankly not sure if you grab Biden and ask him if he wanted this, whether he would completely support it, you know, taking away presidential flexibilities, as much as we like it or don't. Look, I can't stand a guy named Mark Rich. Bill Clinton pardoned him. I didn't like it. I can't say that there was a bunch of Obama people that I didn't like, but, you know, you can pick here and there. I think Bush did a couple I didn't care for, and Trump. But I'm not sure that, you know, you can really get down to how you pick, you know, who you don't like or who you do like about it.
Yeah, well, the last thing I got to get to, the first debate. Less than a week away. Are you finding it as amusing as I am that you had Trump coming out and saying, I think the language he used is, you know, Biden's a seasoned debater, if I'm getting that right. Kind of setting the bar a little higher, while all he's been doing so far this whole campaign is, you know, saying that he's Sleepy Joe and he's on drugs and you know he's senile. Which is it? Is he a skilled, seasoned debater, or is he a senile old man?
Well, you know, this is interesting when you see this type of tone taken by Trump, you know, because Trump would be normally saying he's the worst debater in American history and, you know, on and on and on. And I think what's happened here is they do have a concern that Biden may overperform and Trump may, underperform. Now, it's true. Joe Biden hasn't sat down for a lot of tough interviews lately. Look, I mean, we have to recognize that, right? But that doesn't mean that Biden will be hammered to death by Trump and just sit there and take it. I mean, Biden's been around a long time. But I think what you're seeing there is the White House trying to take the expectations down a little bit. That way, if Trump does a home run, fine. If he doesn't, there's a couple more debates left.
Yeah. I got to tell you, I saw that, and I'm thinking he blinked.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah.
Shows that internally they have a bit of fear. Look, Biden's ahead nationally. Here's the bottom line. You know this, I know this. Pennsylvania, Florida, Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin. I mean, we know what's out there. You know, in the Carolinas, of course, we know what's out there. And those numbers will tighten a bit. And so for, you know, key states, that it's a big deal. And I just think that, yeah, I think they blinked a bit. I think they're showing for the first time a bit of fear about, quote, Sleepy Joe may have been revived a little bit.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where you go, you know, Trump's not going to prepare. You know, he's going to do no prep.
Right.
So you don't know what you get. You know, you don't know what winging it looks like against him. The other debate, the vice presidential debate, and I got to let you go here, but
oh, okay.
The vice presidential debate, do you find it as funny as I do that Mike Pence is being played by Pete Buttigieg in prepping Kamala Harris?
Yeah, I saw that. And I'm wondering, you know, I thought Pete Buttigieg was a great candidate, but I would think just because he doesn't have a legal background, you know, he was a military guy, but I would think they would pick somebody very, very seasoned. I would get a former prosecutor that served in Congress, Gowdy. I'd have Gowdy, wouldn't you?
Well, if I'm Pence, yeah, most certainly.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have Scott Walker. Because who's prepping Pence is Scott Walker, but Buttigieg is doing Kamala Harris.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I don't know. I think they could pick different people. Kamala Harris is going to be exceptionally overperforming in this against Pence. She will.
No, that's what I'm hoping for. I want to see a public thrashing.
But I saw that about Buttigieg. Yes,
I just hope she doesn't.
Thought it was strange.
I can't remember the guy who was running for vice president with Hillary's name. He's a senator from Virginia. He was that forgettable.
Oh. Isn't that terrible? King.
Yeah. see how it went? So forgettable. Anyway, Bob, I appreciate the time as always.
Thank you, Rick.
Good stuff, my friend.
Thank you.
Seriously, I mean, it's one of those things where you look at it and you go, you could have picked somebody better than Scott Walker to prep. And as I said when the story came out, is Scott Walker going to be in blackface with a dress on? Which I think would be hysterical. And if he did wear the dress, if Scott Walker did wear the dress, would Mother then have to be in the room for that too? Just kind of wondering. But I'll tell you, the debates are going to be quite entertaining. I'm looking forward to next week's presidential debate because I think Trump did blink. I think it was a blink. I think he's worried that the same old that shtick isn't going to work. It's now a man that he's going to have to do it to. You know what would be? Because I was thinking about this. You know what would be great if he tried some of the stuff that if Trump tried some of the stuff that he did to Hillary on Biden and Biden just popped him right in the nose. I would love that. It's not going to happen, of course, but I would love that. It just is what it is. We're going to be taking those days off of the debates because clearly I want to see them live instead of having to watch them the next day. And I want to encourage everyone else to watch them as well because I think they're going to be really important. I think they're going to make or break whoever the next president is. And as we've been saying, I think Trump knows it's not going to be the same walk in the park. Anyway, if you missed any of today's program, TheRickSmithShow.com, that's where you go to get the podcast. The Rick Smith Show app on the smartphone. Take the program on the go wherever you go. And as always, you can email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Tomorrow on the big program, our good friend Paul Segunda is going to be here to share some thoughts on RBG and the Supreme Court. We're going to talk about transit. Yes, we need some transit. And, of course, our good friend Sarah Burris back to give us the raw story. Thanks so much for being here. We'll see you back here tomorrow.
You've been listening to The Rick Smith Show. Email Rick. Email Rick at rick@thericksmithshow.com. Until next time.